All right. This is episode 28 of the 29. I'll figure it out when I look at the blog. This is the Coco Chronicles podcast, and now we have a new member, and that member is.
This is Schaefer, the wacky ass guy that used to come on as Barry Coker.
Let me see. Do your Barry Coker voice.
Hey, y'all, it's Barry Coker's. Why don't you guys know this is some badass shit going on right now, and we're gonna drink some beer, and kick some ass.
Yeah,
it's a whole new ball game.
Yeah. With me, as always, is Jared.
What's up? Hello.
And I, of course, am Adam. And we got a lot to talk about, guys.
It's good to be back in studio. I mean, the Skype stuff is all right, but being a person is a whole new element.
Yeah, we're not live tonight. We had to get some things straight and do some inter-team building, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we kind of want to ease Schaefer into it.
Well, we did team building exercises.
We did a little huddle, and then we did some beer bongs, and we're ready to rock.
Some icebreakers, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And then we chanted Coco Chronicles over and over. Then I caught Jared as he fell down chest exercises. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was good amazing. Yeah.
Okay, so tonight we are going to talk some Conference USA.
Oh, is there something going on with Conference USA right now?
Yeah, yeah. You know, have you ever heard of them?
Conference USA? Yeah, I've heard of it, but I didn't know UTSA had any involvement.
Oh. Turns out, UTSA is going to Conference USA. If you hadn't heard that and you are listening to this podcast, then you are a strange kind of guy.
But that's, you know what, I was listening last week, and I heard you say that UTSA was going to the Sun Belt.
Let me start out and tell you.
I heard you had a really good source at UTSA.
You know, that really good source was a Sun Belt official.
Yeah.
So, I'll just throw that out there.
I'm sure your source thought that we were right, but things move so fast.
Yeah, and that's probably what happened. And I have no doubts that that's probably,
hopeful. Wishful thinking.
Well, he was saying that it's for sure, it's a lock coming to the Sun Belt.
Well, they thought so. they probably thought so. They're probably pissed right now.
Yeah. We're gonna talk a lot about that. We're also gonna talk about our Erstedt's rival, Texas State.
Ex-rival.
Yeah, we're kind of leaving behind there. You know, it was fun trying to get excited about them.
Yeah, it was like a summer fling. You know?
yeah. There'll always be that person. Summer loving happens so fast. What else we got? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the choices, what went down, how it went down, what that means, what we have to look forward to this coming season, and also in 2013. Who will we be playing? Because that's not quite for sure yet, turns out. So let's get it started.
First, I want to say that one of the bullet points on our agenda for the night, to quote, it says, "Gush about how Lynn Hickey is a fucking goddess."
Hottest woman I've seen in my whole life.
Oh yeah,
gorgeous.
Did your wife know that?
She knows.
She knows.
We go to the game and where we sit, we're next to the suite of the university or whatever. And every time we run into Romo and Lynn Hickey every game, and every time, I'm always fucked up from the tailgate. Lynn, take pictures, and she's great. I love her. She's an amazing woman.
Sweet. I hope that works out for you
guys. I think that she winked at me a couple weeks ago. I wasn't sure. I have this bad habit that I think all women are winking at me.
That's a very bad habit. I think that's also, that's how you get into it. That's how you get a sexual harassment lawsuit.
Not to be a young man.
She's totally hitting on me, bro. All right, so let's get it started. Schaefer, because that's what I have to call you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're doubled up on our Adams here, so.
Yeah. We need to find another Jared out there, I guess.
I have plenty of friends named Jared.
Why don't you introduce yourself? How did you come up with the Barry Coker thing? It was a funny bit. I liked it a lot.
I did too. I was a big fan.
Well, yeah. I've been a fan of you guys' show since you guys started podcasting, and you guys were blogging even before that. Mm-hmm. Just scouring the internet for information, which has been used to be so hard to find, and there's more and more stuff out there, especially this week.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, yeah, when you guys decided to start taking phone calls, I thought I'd take a life on my own and let you guys know what I was thinking. But, you know, the thing about the Barry Coker thing was Barry Coker was saying some very good stuff. That's why I'm here now as myself, is because I thought I had some really badass points, even if I was going as a different persona, that, you know, you guys play some of the silly stuff or whatever. But I thought I had some good insight, too.
Yeah, I thought it meshed well with our kind of our MO as a blog.
Yeah, I think Barry Coker was a victim of circumstance. I was hoping that it would be that the call-in line would be a little bit more popular than it was.
Yeah.
We only got you and then Mac 78251978.
Number one fan.
Yeah, A B C D E F G. Him. like, you guys are the only two to call in. Although that was cool and I did appreciate it, it's kind of hard to, like, every week, you know, like, voice the same opinions from the group.
And for those out there on the podcast line that don't know, Barry Coker was calling about every other day.
And, it might have been more than that.
Yeah, a couple times a day sometimes. And
you say, good night, Jared. Good night, Adam.
A lot of stories about drinking and all kinds of hijinks.
Yeah, they're hilarious. And
but good opinions in between.
Yeah, there were good opinions. And that's why I think what you were like, you were tweeting at the Coker Chronicles link and like, oh, I think this is going to happen, that's going to happen. I was like, dude, why don't you write up a post? Like, yeah. And then, well, it was kind of frustrating. This is frustrating for all you out there that have like all these hot sports opinions and you really want to, you know, let them be known. There's a link and it's been there pretty much since day two. Since I like,
yeah, it's contribute at CokerChronicles.com, right?
Yes. And so, you know, Schaefer here was like, so where do I send it? I don't know. How do you do this? And I was like, oh my goodness, nobody ever clicks the link.
I didn't know that till right now when you said it.
We talked about it on the podcast also. We're like, hey, if you got any opinions, just let us know. Anyway, so it's cool. We got you on. You posted some good conference realignment posts. I liked them a lot. And I was like, I think maybe we finally found our third person. The third part of our charm, but and so we're happy to have you on, man. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. And I'm happy to be a contributor. I just hope I haven't already blown my load with all this conference realignment stuff. You know, I've been speculating and tweeting about all this stuff and what I thought was going to happen, and kind of all hit the wall this week, which I guess we'll talk about today.
Yeah. All right. Let's get a little bit more into that. Might as well. Who wants to break down how it all happened? Anybody have the timeline in their head straight, Jared?
How the realignment happened, or like how we found out about it?
How the realignment happened.
Well, it seems like Conference USA, they kind of, instead of scrambling and just, you know, adding a random-ass team, they seem to actually have a plan with how they wanted to go about it, make an extremely regional conference, two strong divisions, programs with high ceilings, and I think they did a pretty damn good job of it. I'm really impressed with the way the conference shook out. So, pretty much, they lost Houston, lost SMU, lost Central Florida.
Memphis.
So, the four losses added six. Hopefully six. Old Dominion's still on the fence right now.
Yeah, and we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, and then they added UTSA, UNT, Louisiana Tech, FIU, UNC Charlotte, and Old Dominion.
Wow, dude, how long have you been in San Antonio? You call it Charlotte.
Charlotte?
UNC Charlotte? They're there.
Charlotte, hey, way. Come join our conference, way.
Yeah, so, those are the new ones. I think everybody's kind of, the big hubbub has been over, like, those last, well, like, I guess, the ones that haven't played FBS football, like, for years. They're like, oh, UTSA, what are they coming for? UNC, why are they here? They're playing FCS. And Old Dominion, what the hell?
Yeah, I was really surprised when, you know, we first kind of broke that it was going to be North Texas, and FIU already knew about that. And I think most of us thought Louisiana Tech was going to be in the fold, too. And then this Old Dominion and Charlotte thing, you know, we thought we were going to stop at 12. You know, we're talking about the number 22 is kind of been the number that McCartney's been throwing a lot, which I always thought was a strange number. Mm-hmm. And then late this week, or I guess early this week, they threw out those other two names, which are kind of surprising. But
yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere.
But I wasn't surprised on the one thing that the East Carolina president or the AD, they've been talking a lot about how they want to become, you know, be more regionalized, and they were losing out on this whole thing when we thought we had the story broken all the way, and these two new entries definitely helped them out, because FIU is like so far from East Carolina Marshall. I mean, right. It's like, okay, yeah, it's East Coast, but it's way the hell down there.
Yeah, it's still like 1,000 miles or so.
It's not helpful.
Right.
So 14 was a surprise, and I don't know how the hell that's gonna schedule out.
I think it's going to be more confusing for scheduling, because Old Dominion's going to have to reclassify it to FBS, mm-hmm. and Charlotte. I think they're like Division II right now.
Yeah.
Or have they not started yet?
I think they're already playing.
Yeah. Well, they like restarted.
I think they're only like their third year though.
Yeah. Okay. They're building the on campus stadium. They're going to be playing. Right. They're going to have a football team. 2013.
Oh, speaking of on campus stadium,
Charlotte or Old Dominion?
Charlotte. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Charlotte has a target. I'm sorry.
Tulane. They got funding? They got shot down for their on campus stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, I read that story. That was
It was strange. Weird. Yeah, you would think they'd be down to help in any way, but whatever.
So I don't know if with the 14 and the 12, we're going to wait for these other two programs to develop, and we're going to ship Tulane out to the east, or how that's going to work.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to work out either.
Is that 14? Is that really? Because I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So. The way it projects out is in the East will be East Carolina, FIU, Marshall, Southern Miss, UAB, Charlotte, and Old Dominion. In the West, Louisiana Tech, North Texas, Rice, UTSA, Tulane, Tulsa, and UTEP. I'm getting beer burps over here, guys.
Right. Cute.
Yeah. So I like it. One thing I already noticed, and I said this on the other podcast that I was doing, is that I couldn't give less of a shit about the East half of the
country. Yeah, same way.
Yeah, and so, let them whine and bitch and wonder how they're going to fit you, Charlotte and ODU in the division.
Right.
I'm excited about the Conference USA West.
Yeah, the West is a great conference.
Four teams in Texas.
It's almost a Southwest Conference again.
I love it. Dude, and I know there was a Louisiana Tech guy. He was out there tweeting, I'm excited. We're finally, regionalized. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, Louisiana Tech had to play at Hawaii. How are you going to be in a conference? Yeah.
Louisiana Tech pay their dues. I almost gave them the sympathy vote. Almost this is an old argument, and as a UTSA guy, maybe I shouldn't say this, but Texas State was going about things the right way. They were building facilities. They spent all this time to do this drive.
The drive, yeah.
And all that shit. And look how it turned out for them. But so, doing the patient thing, Louisiana Tech doesn't have a market. Nobody wanted to pick them up. They were going all the way to the WAC, playing all these teams way out in California and way out there. And so... Yeah, I was rooting for them. I wanted it to be included.
Louisiana Tech has great fans. They have great people in their administration.
They have a good history.
They win in everything. They're competitive, at least, in everything.
But that was one of the things, I always said, let's go to the WAC, but, let's drag Texas State along with us, because we need to have that Texas rival.
Right.
We're going to have three rivals now.
Yeah, dude. I really, as an impartial kind of guy, I never really thought about Texas State that much, and now I can go back to not thinking about him that much. And I know, if you're from there, you went there. I'm like, I really can.
I mean, it's gonna be tough for me. I have so many fans. I also have fans in Texas State, but I have so many friends that go to Texas State, and we talk about football and basketball all the time. And now it's just be like, what if?
Well, it was like that ultimate, and I don't know if you're gonna cover this later, but it's like that ultimate stick it to them is they all they gave us such a hard time as fans, you guys aren't doing it the right way. We've been doing all this stuff. And you got to write our coattails and everything. And there's no denying that we just passed them up right now.
Oh, yeah,
there's
absolutely. No denying. Yeah, the damage control from Texas State fans have been hilarious, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I watched that press conference today that the Wagjack put up there. It was just 20 minutes of press conference. Man, Larry Tice was just squirming
up
there.
Oh, he's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fan of him.
And you could tell that he was trying to keep Benson happy, but he was also trying to talk to the fans.
Sympathize.
About how he was doing everything and all this stuff. And he was just squirming up there. It was terrible.
It's a terrible position
to be in when your rival, the one that you've been talking down to this whole time, is zooming past you.
But what really sucks is that they've accomplished their goal. They did everything that they set out to do, moved up to FBS in a stable, decent conference. I guess the biggest drawback is they're kind of an outlier geographically in their conference with no real rival.
Yeah, I'll say this. You mentioned this, and I'll let you continue to talk. I just want to kind of preface your talk with this, that... to tie in what you said about how they've done things the right way, there was no really predicting that UTSA was going to fill the football team and be as successful, because doing it is really hard, if you think about the talk, me as a fan of San Antonio, when they started announcing that, hey, we're thinking about football, I was rooting for it, but I was like, realistically, this ain't going to happen until 10 years from now. It's going to be 2020.
Right. And most of the real fans were okay with that. We understand this is going to be a process.
Yeah, we
it's
knew.
Gonna, it's
right.
going to take what it takes.
Yeah, and so I was really excited with, how quickly it all moved.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
Well, I didn't really think about Texas State as far as a rival or a competitor school, that they were kind of thinking the same thing. They're like, all right, we're so far ahead of them.
Right.
And, by 2020, we're going to be in Conference USA. And so then, we won't mind UTSA coming up and joining us at that point. And we'll have plenty of time to build up our Austin market, how you're talking about that, in San Antonio. We'll have a football team in a big-time conference. Mm-hmm. We should be able to draw some northern San Antonio folks there.
Yeah.
They were not ready for, the fucking goddess that is Nikki to wreak havoc.
She fucked old Larry Tice up on this one. And there's been this is kind of some commentary that's gone back for a while. I don't remember who initially I heard talk about it. Maybe it was Dan McCartney. And Jason Minix on his show kind of let loose on it this week about how Texas State had all this time, opportunity to come into San Antonio, maybe throw a game at the Alamo Dome,
get those
San Antonio fans, but they were all worried about Austin. We can't even compete with Austin. How is Texas State keeping with Austin? And so they had their opportunity to get those San Antonio fans on board, and now UTSA popped up, and now here we go. See you later.
If you think about it this way, if you told somebody, hey, look, all right, there's two cities, right? There's one kind of smaller city. There's one little bit bigger city, right? One doesn't have a college football team. Doesn't have a football team at all.
Seems like common sense.
Hey, and right. The other one has a national championship winning team, like three-time national championship winning teams on TV every week. Has a couple Heisman Trophy winners. Which city do you want to compete with?
Where's your opportunity? Like,
right.
I like Austin. I mean, they got that 6th Street. That's basically their...
That was their train of thought, yeah.
They missed out on the gold mine that UTSA ended up capitalizing on.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's what I was like. I was telling everybody, you know, me as a UNT fan and also San Antonio, and I was like, I'm kind of excited about this. I think UTSA could be good. They're like, we don't need to be dealing with UTSA because they're a startup program. They're going to... It's going to be like, you know, like it was reasonable to think, you know, three years ago that... It was going to be like 2020 before they were like even legit. So
we've been okay with that.
And I said, I was like, you know, but San Antonio, man, we know how to do stuff. You bring a Final Four, we're at the Final Four, dude. We're there. You bring an event to San Antonio, and we're there.
Anywhere you can get that tourism money.
Yeah, and a football game is an event. Yeah. Whereas like they're like, oh, well, they don't sell out the combo for the basketball team. I was like, look, dude. If you're gonna see a good Spurs, a good basketball game, you're gonna watch Spurs. Right. It's free. It's on TV. It gets the highest ratings in the NBA. Local ratings, you know. So
it's obvious. There's no doubt that there's a difference in the UTSA culture or the city between the basketball and the football. And I don't know how to put it into words or what it is. Yeah. And I hope that it changes.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt there was a different kind of enthusiasm going with football than the basketball program has been around for.
I think it's because our football has like a scale to it that basketball can't match.
Like it's an event.
Yeah. Well, we're scheduling these big teams. You know, we've got Oklahoma State coming to the Dome next year. And it's just on another level, you know, like it feels like big time football. And then you go to the Convo and it's like a high school gym playing like UC Davis or some shit.
Yeah,
like it doesn't feel like a legitimate event that you should get pumped up for.
No, you go to a Spurs game, you get to watch the best of the best play that night for relatively cheap. You can get some cheap tickets there, right? Or you can just watch them on TV, right? You go to the Convo, like you said, it's not really an event. Like, as an event, it's not really that great. You're like, it's college. Yeah, it's D1. But it just doesn't feel like it. I feel like I'm at a rinky-dink arena. You go to the Alamo Dome. That, you know, is, you know, like, how many people have seen a football game at the Alamo Dome that's not been high school football?
Right, not very many.
High school football can put on a good show, but they don't do it up.
It's not an event.
There's no pageantry there. Yeah, it's not an event. No. You don't see, like, you know, like Madison High School running out to Enter Sandman smoking fire. Yeah, fireworks. You don't see that. So that was awesome. And it continues to be awesome. And that's what's selling it. Like, maybe they're not football fans, you know, we kind of complain about that, like doing a wave and whatever.
Yeah.
But they're coming out for an event, and that's all you need. That's
can we take a little tangent on that? I was, you know, curious what you guys thought about. So now that we're going to Conference USA, and you know, Conference USA, sometimes two-bid league, you know, sometimes just a one-bid league. This year was a two-bid league. Do you think that the interest in basketball is going to grow?
Yeah.
Or are we a football school? Are we just a football school and the basketball program is second fiddle and we're not going to worry about it? Or,
well, I think that we are a football school, but I think that we can be like a decent like SEC size. We're like, you'll get 90,000 for football games, but at least you get a good, you know, 7,000 for basketball. And I think that we could have
a ratio like that. But not even attendance-wise. I mean, just as far as having a good program and...
Yeah. I mean, we have the pieces there besides the arena. We got a great coach. We have very talented players. Recruiting has been fantastic. I think if we could get some bigger names to come through on the schedule that would kind of get the interest up. I don't know.
I want my school to be a good football team and a good basketball team.
Yeah, for
honestly,
sure.
I could give a shit about anything else. I'm glad we beat number one Baylor in baseball, but honestly, I just don't care about baseball.
Right.
You know, offense to the guys playing baseball. But that's just my, you know, my opinion. Yeah. That's what the high profile sports, you know, that's where it's at.
I mean, that's the revenue sports.
Yeah, the two money making sports.
The time that I see UTSA basketball, you know, maybe they don't win the conference tournament and they get an at large bid, that's when I know that, you know, we're playing basketball now.
Yeah, and there's a good chance that could happen. You know, which is great.
I would say this, that the Conference USA is definitely, like, traditionally has been a better league than, like, the Sun Belt League, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the Sun Belt plays better basketball than the Southland.
Yeah.
So UTSA is recruiting for the Southland. They're competing with Southland schools. Maybe they're trying to, you know...
Well, I think the past 3 years or so we've out-recruited the Southland.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, extremely. And that's all you need. It's really all you need. You just need to win your league, you get to the tournament, and you do better then. And so you're trying to recruit for that first game, but not for much further past that, right? So now you're in a Conference USA. You're playing other schools, a lot more money, a lot better facilities. And that means that you're I guess... there's only so much. We went to the tournament, you know, and they're like, yeah, but the convo, dude. You're like, yeah, but the tournament. And you're like, but the convo.
The Kelly's Hill.
And that's a fair assessment. The convo is a piece of shit. It's embarrassing.
It is.
When I like take my friends on tours of campus, I don't even walk by the convo. I kind of skirt around it.
Yeah, I know. When I heard Conference USA, or they say maybe Mavon Whistles with them, when they came to their tour, I go, God, I hope they shouldn't go to the convo.
I know.
Yeah. Show them the plans. Show them the plans. Don't show them the convo.
What frustrates me is the convo wouldn't be that bad if they put some fucking bricks on the rusted metal facade outside. Yeah.
And, you know, like, the answer to getting a better basketball team, like, unless you have a coach that can out-recruit that facility, which means you have to have a hell of a recruiter, or a lot of sneaking under the table money, is that, you know, that's going to be the restricted plate there. You know what I mean? That's gonna hold us back.
Yeah.
And so,
you know, Conference USA is kind of like rehab for, like, big-time coaches. You know, like Larry Eustace was at Southern Miss, and he was that guy that was licking co-ed faces up at...
And really? And then, is that a crime?
Is that really illegal?
I don't think so, but his wife, I think, had a problem with it. Yeah. Even football, like Mark Price at UTEP, you know, he was... Yeah. All these things are sexually related for some reason. The downfall of man. I my own opinions about Brooks Thompson or whatever, but... I like to see that charismatic guy who can recruit like hell and bring some players in, and I think there's opportunity for that being in this league. That's of the non AQ conferences or whatever. It's probably second fiddle to Mountain West.
Yeah, here's how I figure it. Right, you get more money from being in Conference USA. Right, you get more prestige. You get maybe a better TV contract. We use that money plus any money, more donations, more ticket sales to like the football games. Use that money to build a better stadium, or work on a deal, or whatever the case may be.
Just make it happen.
Do something.
Like,
it's a number one
so, like, so, like, it ends up benefiting basketball, but for the next 5 to 10 years, until that happens, it's not coming. But,
and I'm glad they finally said officially, you know, we're not worried about building an on-campus football stadium. Well, that's not a need. We got to take care of this damn convo and do something, you know, that class. And Brad Parrott even said that months and months ago. He was saying, you know, well, you know, if we want to go Conference USA, we need to, you know, address our basketball arena and all this stuff. We need to get these facilities up. Mm-hmm. And that's our eyesore. That's our Achilles heel. Like, in that article that McCartney wrote this week about, you know, we were talking about funding and different things that we lacked for Conference USA. That's our biggest...
Yeah, like...
Our biggest eyesore there.
Yeah, you know, and That's why like UNT fans are kind of skeptical about UTSA making the jump, because one of the big things that held us back, us being UNT right now, I'm speaking as a UNT fan, was the lack of facilities. At that time, it was like 2004. That was before my time there. But they were like, yeah, there are no facilities. Fouts Field is kind of lame. Like, Fouts Field was the convo, and that was it. Like, so once we built the stadium, now we got in. At least that's the narrative here. So everybody's kind of thinking the same thing. They're like, well, how come they get in with no facilities? I think a lot of that is the Alamo Dome. If there was no Alamo Dome, like, the football stadium is the biggest, it's like 90% of your facilities. Because I think the thinking is, if you have that, you can build everything else. You get donations, you get enough support, you get enough... Yeah. TV money, whatever, to build all the other stuff. And so I'm not that concerned.
I think that leads back to something I've been saying for years now. You can't compare UTSA to any college program in history. We've done things so differently than anyone else. You know, like, we're in a 2.2 million people market with no NFL team and no Division I football.
Yeah.
In Texas,
South Texas. You know, no one else has had that circumstance. We hired a national championship coach on day one. We've recruited the most fertile recruiting grounds in the entire nation, the world. You know, like, it's just a different...
Wait, where is that?
Texas.
I guess Texas. I would say, I don't know, Florida and California probably have something to say about that, but...
Oh, they can kiss my ass.
Yeah.
You guys should see the guys playing over in London. That's some good talent over there.
Yeah, I heard there's two guys coming out of London that are supposed to be, like, 5-star kids. I'm serious.
Yeah?
I don't know if you are joking.
I was joking.
No. Oh, yeah, no. They really do have two kids over there that are supposed to be
about us. That ups your percentage a little bit. I mean, I'm just saying, I totally agree with you. I think South Texas has been an underserved market, an untapped market for a long time. So, yeah.
Oh, and another thing is we have 30,000 students and an emerging research university. You know, like, a lot of these programs, they try to start up and, you know, they're not good schools. You know, like UAB, when they started up football, like, they were barely funded. About to go bankrupt now, but...
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So, like, I think UTSA is a completely different animal than any other school.
Yeah, a lot of people like to, you know, say, like, oh, you don't have an on-campus stadium or whatever. I mean, an on-campus stadium. you know, how's that going to work, whatever, whatever. But I love the Alamo Dome. I think
it's
great.
It's fantastic.
I don't know how it is for the students, but, you know, they're like, well, alumni want to come back to the school or whatever.
Yeah.
I love the whole thing with the Alamo Dome. It's great.
I don't know if there are any alumni of UTSA that are longing to see the lush concrete of UTSA.
Yeah.
See, that goes into my whole shtick about being an alumni. So I've been out of school for 12 years now. And, you know, I'm like the traditional commuter student that everybody kind of makes fun of. Like, oh, UTSA is a commuter school, whatever, whatever.
That means he lived in his car the whole time.
I lived with my mom and my dad.
How far away from campus were you?
We were about maybe 12 miles away.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I understand that the students now, like Jared, are going to have a different experience than what we had when we were in school.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But I think it's important for the alumni, even though we didn't have that experience coming up, and that we didn't fall back in line and do the whole thing, you know, the Aggie hypnosis that they do to them, you know, they get them on board or whatever.
Yeah.
That it's important. It's important to us to help establish that, so the students that are there, you know, they're going to go right into that cycle. And so I take that seriously as an alumni. That, and there's a lot of us that are out there that do that. We got to kind of help that, even though we didn't have that experience or whatever. We're not bitter about it, but, you know, we're gonna help foster it.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah, I totally think that, man. Like any school, anytime. I mean, as a person, as a citizen, we can't be like, oh, now it's so awesome. Fuck whatever anybody else did way back when. Well, there would be no now if there wasn't then, you know? Mm-hmm. There was a first class at the University of Texas and at Yale and at Harvard and all these prestigious schools that think they're the shit. There was a first class and they had to deal with shitty facilities, you know? And they were like, they're in the schoolhouse, basically, you know, making do with things.
Yeah, I think the more the alumni do now that are already out there, it's just going to grow.
Yeah, and I think you tweeted out there. It makes your degree look a little bit better, even if it may not be. Maybe it was not that awesome back then, and maybe they didn't teach you even your ABCs, you know? Maybe that's but nobody knows that, you know? Yeah, they're like, hey, UTSA, you know, Tier 1 research university in like 5 years, whatever. If all that happens, and, oh, you graduated from UTSA? You're like, yeah, yeah. They're like, all right, sweet. You must be a fucking genius. Yeah. I always said that.
I think, like, my class of UTSA students are going to be, like, really, really good alumni. Because, like, we've seen firsthand the evolution of the campus. Like, when I got there, no one wore UTSA stuff on campus ever.
Yeah.
Like, it was very weird to see someone, like, decked out in UT stuff. Yeah. And now it's the total opposite. You walk into class and, like, the entire, like, three rows when you walk in are all UTSA apparel.
And that's part of that culture change. That's
right.
Great.
It's been huge. And so, like, when I graduate, I'm going to see my team play in three different leagues in 3 years. A good chance we'll be in a bowl game before I graduate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we didn't even have football when I first got here.
Yeah, dude, like,
that's awesome.
When I graduated high school and I left, like, UTSA was not even a consideration. Partly because I wanted to go somewhere where, you know, like, oh, somewhere that has football, somewhere that has a good basketball team. I know UTSA kind of had a maybe on and off good basketball team, but I wanted to go somewhere else and experience some of, like, real-life college life and not, like, a glorified community college, which I admit, that's what I considered UTSA.
Yeah, it was.
Felt like
it was.
That's fair.
I asked one of my friends, it's like, dude, it's like 13th grade. You're there, you're sitting there and look around, everybody else is there. You just graduated with, like, in your freshman English class. I was like, I don't need that in my life. Say I was graduating, say I'm 18 now, right? And I'm like, where am I going to go? I'm like, UTSA, dude, it's right there. There are people there, you know, like, and there's school spirit. You're part of a group, and it looks like fun. You see people walking around with
this,
orange and blue. What's up?
This new Twitter account came up about a couple weeks ago, and it's like the UTSA class of 2016 Twitter account.
Oh, yeah?
And it's already like 200 kids on there, and those kids are like fucking amped to go to UTSA. And I'm thinking back to when I was in that boat, like, that didn't happen. Like, I told people I'm going to UTSA, and they're like, ooh, so when are you going to transfer?
Yeah, dude,
I'm like, what? No. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, you're going to go to UTSA and then transfer to Texas State, because it's a party school, right? That's what everybody said, yeah. And see, like, a lot of people that I either, like, graduated a little bit before I did from high school, or, like, my same class or a year younger than me, were doing that thing. They're like, I'm going to go to UTSA, knock out some basics, then I'm going to transfer to, like, Texas State or UT, like you said. And so they were walking around with the UT gear all the time.
Yeah.
Cause that was the plan, and that's kind of what you did. That was kind of understood. I'm going to go to UTSA for a year,
And
then I'm going to transfer when I have all my good grades.
Yeah, now there's pretty clear animosity for people that are, like, talking about transferring to UT and, wearing UT stuff on campus. Like, it's not like, a acceptable thing anymore.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
I like to hear that.
Yeah. So there's good news, and there is 30 minutes on the move to Conference USA. I want to talk a little bit about exactly who we are playing. Like, ODU, they may not be making the move. What do we think about that?
I think they are. I just think that
Well, they didn't want to announce. They're not going to announce tomorrow.
I think what it is, and I'm getting this from Daryl from Rowdy Report, is that their Board of Regents, or whatever they call it over there, their meeting is like delayed until next week. Okay. So it might just be like the official process of that. Because I don't see any way they turned on an invite right now.
Yeah, it would seem like it would be really ridiculous.
Their program is hot right now. They got good hoops. They're going to be in a pretty good hoops division. So I don't see any reason why they would say no. No. I mean, we're also going to go to the Sun Belt. Their conference in basketball is like destroying itself right now.
Everybody's leaving right now. Yep.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about Texas State. And
This is the time to glow.
They're really not excited about going to the Sun Belt, and I can't blame them. I said yesterday on the Mean Green Nation podcast, I was like, you know, like, they're not excited about going. And what somebody said, one of the first questions was like, well, who's in the Sun Belt?
Yeah, that was great.
I can't.
I wish I could have been there so I could go, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, I can't blame them for that.
Because bust out a tiny violin.
I thought the same thing, dude. Like, I was at North Texas. I'm like, all right, so we won a couple conference championships. Who do we play? Who's on the schedule? And it looks like, oh, Louisiana Lafayette, Louisiana Monroe, Arkansas State.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like that.
Directional.
That Monroe thing is such a black eye. Everybody hates the word Monroe. It's just
like I think we drove through Monroe, Louisiana. That was a mistake. I think the United States made a mistake there. Anyway, so like my point is that they're going there. They're not really that excited about it. And in comparison with UTSA, totally agree with them. But it's a decent conference for them.
Yeah. I'm trying to tell my Texas State friends that there's nothing to be upset about. I mean, just because your rival is going to a better...
Well, there's that to be upset about.
The move itself, pragmatically, is not a bad move. It's better than the WAC. You know?
In fact, for UTSA, I had accepted this fate.
I was like, we're going to go Sun Belt.
So I started figuring out, we're going to Texas State. And you know, I figured the division with Monroe and Lafayette. I was like, okay, well, you know, we can deal with this. I'm glad it didn't work out that way.
The things as a former Sun Belt guy, I mean, you know, UNT is going to play in the Sun Belt this upcoming season. What sucked about it was the distance. That was it. That's what, like, you know, like, I don't mind playing a small school. I don't care. As long as I can get up for them. Like, you know, like what UTSA played Sam Houston. That was fun. You get to talk mess. They're going to play Texas State this season. You can talk mess. Where does Texas State rank in the national conversation? Not high, if at all, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's like two sides of the story that everybody kind of falls on. Like people want to take Texas State with them. They want to be rivals. They want that. And, you know, there's reasons behind that. You know, even Larry Tice said, you know, they're still trying to schedule something out of conference because there's just so much money to be made with that. But, you know, and there's a lot of people that are like, no, screw them, leave them behind. Hmm. You know, that one poster that just constantly, you know, talks about Texas Teachers College and all that stuff and go to hell and all that. But, you know, I think we'll see that. I've always been a proponent of staying with Texas State, you know. But we'll see that. We'll see how that goes this year and what kind of environment we have. And I think people will understand that when we have that game in November.
I think, from a business standpoint, I don't think you want to throw out something that's very viable. There's like you said, there's money to be made there. Like you, Jared. I know nobody can see me looking at Jared talking here, but... Yeah, like you said, there's money to be made there.
He's so creepily.
Yeah. I'm licking my lips.
I'm getting excited, actually.
Yeah. That's why we need somebody to watch. That was part of it. there's money to be made there. And I don't think you want to toss out rivals, potential rivals, because you don't know how good Texas State is going to be. You know, maybe everything clicks for them. Maybe they become a really good team. And I don't see any reason not to have them in there. Yeah. I think Texas State, if they play the cards right and they don't fuck it up, they can eventually move the conference.
Who knows? With all the way this stuff goes, who knows? Yeah. But yeah, I'd like to hitch their wagon to us, not us to them. Mm-hmm. Now that we have other Texas rivals, it's kind of like, all right. Well,
yeah, less is a blow when you know you have three other teams in state to play.
Yeah, and that's kind of cool too about Conference USA is like, you know, with the WAC, we're going to Moscow, Idaho. We're talking about going to San Jose.
Yeah,
we're going and we're getting more TV money. We're going to have less travel.
Yeah,
I mean, this is just like a lot win-win travel. All around.
Yeah.
I mean,
bigger name schools too. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's speaking of local teams, local travel. Who's the rival? Is it UNT? I know you're totally excited, but I think you're just like I dismiss.
I think the only people that are
this
hyped
guy
up,
doesn't know anything.
Listen, the only people who are hyped up about this UNT game are people that are like getting trolled on Twitter. I think if you walk out a student body and you poll 100 people, who they're excited about playing in Conference USA, I don't think the answer is going to be UNT.
Dude, if you go poll anybody, they don't even know who's in Conference USA. You poll them, they don't even know. They don't know anything. I think
people know that Rice and UTEP are in there.
And that maybe they do. That's it. So that's all they're excited about. And then I also think that you're taking a sample size of your friends who are like, there's a lot of Houstonites from there. You know what I mean?
Well, that's UTSA, dude.
Yeah. Well, it's not all UTSA. And I'm also taking a sample size of...
Dude, I go there. Everyone's from Houston.
Everybody's not from Houston.
Everyone's from Houston. Statistically, 50% of the school's from Houston, and like 35% is from San Antonio.
All right, I'll tell you what. You show me the stats from that, and then...
All right, look it up.
So you think Rice is going to be a number one?
I don't know. Because I don't think many people in Houston give a shit about Rice, honestly.
Just because it's a private school. I would put Rice third, and then I'm back and forth between UNT and UTEP. And right now I'm thinking UTEP.
UTEP, really?
Because it's the same system. They're already talking shit about hand signals and colors and all this stuff.
But they're way in the hell. Like, the way a rivalry works is that you have to have some connection to the other school, right? Why is Alabama and Auburn, why is that a rivalry? Because they live, like, right next to each other. Why is Texas A&M, Texas, why was that a rivalry? Because they live right next to each other. UT, Oklahoma, because everybody in Dallas, you know, like, you graduated from UT, well, before, for, you know, lots of years, you went up to Dallas to get to go work in, you know, in the business capital of Texas. You graduated from Oklahoma, you moved south to go work in the business capital of Texas. So you mingle, you know, and that's where their game is. So there's intermingling of those schools. Rice is a private school.
Right.
So it's
small school.
Yeah, how are you going to, you know, and you don't, you know, they're there's just some smart people there. They're not going to mingle with the people that are coming out of UTSA.
That's fair.
UNT, UTSA, there's a lot of intermingling.
See, I don't see it. I don't see it. Besides you and your wife, I don't know anyone from UNT.
Yeah, well,
I have one friend that doesn't care about athletics.
I didn't know anybody from UTSA or from San Antonio until UTSA starts rising to prominence. I was like, oh, well, like, my brother went to UTSA, or like, I took two semesters there, and all of a sudden everybody's a fan.
Yeah.
That's what happens. It's the same way. Like, when the team is good, I've always been a 49er fan. Oh, really? Really? How come you're wearing a Green Bay shirt? But that's what happens, dude. Everybody from San Antonio. Like, maybe you moved to Dallas. You didn't go to university, or you're one of those, like, university hoppers, you know, like, I went to Sam Houston for a semester.
I have a friend, he's going to graduate going to six different schools.
Yeah. And so,
incredible.
Yeah, so you have a connection to UTSA, and then you're like, oh, well, San Antonio is my hometown, and so that's why I'm going to root for them. And then, you know, you go to the UNT game. People do that. That's what people do. And I think that's the genesis of the rivalry.
I think ultimately it's going to come down to the games. You know, like, if we have, like, these really close contested games for conference championships with Rice, maybe Rice will be our rival. If UTEP is in that same boat with us, maybe it's UTEP.
Something has to happen.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a more organic process in Conference USA.
But I'm sure for Adam internally, he's experiencing the rivalry in his soul right now.
No, I'm not. No rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to side with UNT. I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said that last week on the podcast. But, like, no, like, I saw it. Up in UNT this is why let me start off by saying this. I still think, despite what that guy that you hate on Twitter says, that UNT and UTSA have a lot in common. Not maybe like facts and figures, but a lot of like the general attitude. UNT was considered a commuter school for a lot of years. They just started shaking that off a couple years before UTSA did. The only difference is that they had a football team, but it's something similar. Like, They had a football team in a market saturated by the Cowboys. It's the same way as, like, except the Spurs, you know what I mean? Like, UTSA basketball wasn't going to get any hype with Tim Duncan winning championships. UNT football didn't get any hype, you know, when, you know, Dallas Cowboys are winning, you know, when Dallas Cowboys dominate everything there. And then this year, UNT opened up their stadium, and what happened? The same night that they have football games, the Texas Rangers,
and the World
the
Series.
Most moribund program, moribund franchise in MLB, all of a sudden makes their second World Series. You know what I mean? So, like, we feel like we're, like, you know, like, we always have the fucking short end of the stick there. So, now all of a sudden this school from the South, and everybody's talking shit, and they're loudmouth UTSA Roadrunner fans. Fuck them. That's what everybody says.
You know, they feel the hate. Everybody's going to hate us.
Yeah, that's the genesis. Yeah, I'm saying that's the genesis. But they're like, no, this is our time to shine. We built the facilities. They have that Texas State attitude, but they're also from Dallas. And they're also looking at San Antonio. They're like, fuck, San Antonio, they've been winning, you know, NBA championships. I'm tired of San Antonio. I'm tired of hearing about San Antonio. That's it. That's what you get. And so that's where the hate comes from. That's it.
I think there's a lot of potential there.
I can definitely see the possibility, but for it to actually happen, I think that certain things have to be put in place. You know what I mean? Like, if neither of our games are ever competitive, and like, or if we don't even like play that much, you know what I mean?
Well, they're going to be in the conference.
Yeah, I know, but like, if we're not like high stakes games, you know what I mean? Because like when you play,
it's going to be a division game. It's going to be a conference game. Yeah. So that's automatically high stakes, I think.
We might be at the cellar for a little while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so that's what I'm saying. Like, so the long term, like 50 years that we're talking about, I'm talking about the next 5 years. 5 years, I think that's going to be the rival. And like I said, what the general population of the like the student body says, like even if there are a bunch of Houstonites there, that's not going to be the fan base necessarily. Just like the fan base of University of Texas are not UT alums.
Yeah, but we're not UT Texas.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, but it's the same way. It's the same thing. You think all 56,000 people that went to the first game were UTSA alums?
No, of course not.
Exactly.
But what about the 30 or 25,000 showed up for the Georgia State game?
Those are not UTSA alums. I'm not a UTSA alum. I was there. Yeah. Gina's not. She was there. My dad went. He was not a UTSA alum. You know?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people that didn't go there that are going there for an event and that are San Antonio fans. And picking up on a San Antonio v. Dallas thing, that's, yeah. And Rice,
so you're saying the casual fan's going to jump on board just because there's always that San Antonio Dallas thing.
Yeah.
Even though all San Antonio fans are Dallas Cowboy fans, which I've never...
I never got it.
It's really...
Yeah.
It's
I mean,
really
not growing up here, it's even more bizarre for me. I'm like, why...
I hate the Mavericks, but I love the Cowboys.
Why would you dick ride for, you know, a team that you... Besides that team, you hate everything about the city. I don't understand.
See, and that's why...
And the Texans are perfectly fine. Like, why not like the Texans? Yeah.
Because fuck Houston. Smogfield fucking place. That's what I say. That's me. I don't know. I really don't hate any city, generally. I like to talk mess. But I think that's... Like, I don't do the, like, oh, fuck Dallas. It's a bunch of douchebags there. Because I live there, and I have a bunch of friends there. And I know it's not douchebags.
Well, you didn't live in Dallas. You lived in Denton.
Well, I lived in Denton.
Pretty clear.
Yeah, but I was not one of those people that just, like, stay in one spot. Yeah. I go out and do stuff. So I was in Dallas
all the
time.
You drove the 45 minutes to Dallas?
Yeah.
Damn.
I was in Dallas all the time. I was in Fort Worth all the time. I was in Plano. I was in Addison.
That's impressive.
Douchey. Yeah, just like here. Like, I'm not just on this side of town. I've been on your side of town. I've been on the south side.
Is 15, 10 minutes, not, you know,
yeah, I know, but
an hour.
Even then, you'd be surprised at how many San Antonians, and you know where you are out there. I mean, I guess you're a San Antonian, too. How many people just stay on their part of town? They're like, I'm from the south side.
Oh, yeah, a lot, for sure.
I don't cross 30. I don't cross 10. I don't do that. Yeah. I go everywhere. I
stay on military.
Kind. Yeah, they're people like that. Yeah. Like, I'm a North Sider. I don't go south of 16.
You'd be surprised
buddy.
How many of my friends have never been to the Riverwalk.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
In shirts.
Get out there and see what's up.
In shirts. There were people with cars. Like, you know, like the people that got cars a little bit before I did.
Yeah.
They're like, I've never gone south past the North Star Mall. And I was like, really? Dude, I've been to the south side, you know. I've been to South Park Mall. You ever been there? Like, oh, no.
I would never go there.
And they grabbed their handkerchief.
Yeah, but I think the initial topic was about Texas State. And
the topic was about
having this guy on the podcast is going to keep us like on topic. That's good.
Probably not. I've had the most beer out of all of us, so probably not. But another point I wanted to make about Texas State. So there's been a lot of talk recently, like, and Larry Tice said something. He wants to keep. He said he's actually talked to Lynn Hickey about keeping a home and home series going on in all sports. And so, what do you guys think about that?
I don't mind it at all. I don't see. Like I said,
are we gonna give up one of these, you know, valuable out of conference games that we've been scheduling?
Nope. Because we're not going to turn that into money from having the home game. And Texas State couldn't even hold us.
So what about this? There was something that Dan McCartney said about having every game at the Alamo Dome. He said they were actually discussing that and switching who the home team was, but being in our stadium, which I think is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, strong arm those bitches. You know?
Yeah, exactly. We have the leverage.
Yeah, so exactly.
Like, now is the time to execute.
If y'all want in on this shit, it's on our terms, dog.
Yeah, exactly. If we're going to do it, this is how we're going to do it. If not, then you can, you know...
Texas State, we're not going to give up the revenue, and we already sold those seats, and that's blah, blah, blah. If they want to keep the rivalry with the, you know, like you said, the big-time UTSA that's on the rise in Conference USA, that's what you got to do. If you're Texas State, you got to take that deal. I don't know why you don't.
Yeah.
If you want to keep the rivalry going, you got to do it.
And that's Lynn Hickey throwing Larry Tice a bone, because, I mean, the guy's desperate.
Yeah.
Get him now.
I almost feel bad for him, but he really fucked up, man.
He did.
Like,
he did.
Texas Tate should be in our position right now.
Well, like I said, I don't know. I can't completely blame the guy. I got to say some of that was just that being beat by the better team. It's like, can you really blame the Utah Jazz for getting beat by Michael Jordan in 98 and then, or 97 and 98? They just ran into the better man.
We're talking like 100 years of history.
Well, and that wouldn't all this do. This, what's his name, Tice? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's not all him. He wasn't around for 100 years. They did everything right. It's not like they're not trying to make things happen.
I don't think they did everything right. I disagree. I think they took too long to build the facilities. I don't think the drive was effective. Because they didn't get into WAC till we did.
Well, see, and not all of that is on him. Like he didn't build an apathetic fan base for 50 years. You know what I mean, they're apathetic on their own.
I just don't think they did enough. They never tried to get in San Antonio. They tried forever to get in Austin, and it never worked. And they kept trying. So I think they took a lot of missteps that weren't grave, didn't ruin the program, but they're definitely not where they could have been with visionary leadership.
Right, and getting that San Antonio market was, you know, we already talked about that, but it's a reasonable idea. I mean, we had the San Antonio Riders here when I was growing up, which was a World Football League, and for a few years they played out at Bobcat Stadium. I mean, that was a San Antonio team playing out there, so just because they're 15 minutes from South Austin or whatever it is, and they're 30 minutes from San Antonio, there's still that opportunity, and they just fucked up.
Yeah. We'll go ahead and leave it there. They definitely, Texas State leadership over the years could have done it. Like I said, I couldn't give less of a shit about Texas State. I've never, when I was a student, you know, I grew up in shirts in high school. I never even half considered going to Texas State.
Really?
Or Southwest Texas State, as it was called at the time. No, I didn't.
Yeah, my best friend went to Texas State, so, you know, anytime I could stick it to him, I'm good with that.
I think if I ever had to transfer, if you just say burned down, I'd probably go to Texas State.
Yeah, that's what all UTSAers say, though. That's been the mantra. Like, well, if I don't get a UT, I'm going to go to Southwest Texas State or Texas
State.
They're
like the same damn school.
It's like a party school, man. I mean, like, you saw the rankings. You saw the rankings, too. You saw the rankings.
It was on Maxim.
Like, all right, bro. Fist pump. All right, cool. Trance. It's an inside joke. All right, so, yeah, all right. What are we moving on, then? About Lynn Hickey is a fucking goddess?
Oh, yeah.
Let me... All right, so Lynn Hickey, goddess.
Yeah,
let me quote you from the email. What did you say?
I believe I said she was a fucking goddess.
Gush about how Lynn Hickey is a fucking goddess. All right.
So. I mean, riddle me this, Batman. What else? I mean, Lynn, they said straight ahead, they said from the get-go that their goal would be Conference USA.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we all understood, okay, this is going to be a long process. You know, we were fortunate to get in the WAC. That was great. We're already there. We're about to start our second year, and we're already going to be there in our third year.
That's surreal.
It's just amazing, and you know, I don't know what Lynn's future is going to be, and I don't know if it's going to be UTSA. I mean, you know, I imagine we probably pay her, you know, $120,000 a year. Or I don't know how much ADs make, but I know that we pay a lot less for AD than big schools do.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that she's not the hottest property out there right now.
Oh God, I know.
I mean, San Jose, who's I think they're about to hire someone tomorrow. The AD. I mean, I don't know why they weren't looking at her. I mean. She's absolutely amazing, and I don't know what her prospects are, if she wants to go anywhere, and I hope to God that she wants to stay here because she's just so amazing and incredible what she's done here. But, I mean, what she's done, no one has done before. Not even South Florida.
Yeah.
You know, we're even a quicker schedule than South Florida, and that was like the big, like, oh, if we could be the greatest thing ever, it'd be South Florida. And you know,
yeah, and that was wishful thinking. Yeah.
And, I guess to complete the South Florida, we'll have to be in the Big 12 in like 2 years or something, but... But to be a Conference USA, I mean, there's not one person that could say Lynn Hickey's not doing the greatest job ever. I mean,
she has, and you know, like I think Texas State would they're not fans of Lynn Hickey.
They ought to be back in the truck up with cash to pay her to get their program straightened out.
Yeah.
Oof. At this point, I wouldn't even be upset if she left. She's done so much for the program, you know, like
And I know she wants to do facilities, and I think someone tweeted that to me. Like, well, that's something still that she wants to do is facilities, but. She's kind of accomplished her goal already. So if she walks off to go lead to make big money, we just have to bid her well and just be thankful for what she's done for us.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you feel. I feel like that about Johnny Jones, basketball coach. I'm like, he set us on the track to succeed. And, you know, like, if he leaves for his dream job, then what can I reasonably say? And
yeah,
so,
I
like,
agree with that.
If Lynn Hickey leaves for her dream job, which, I don't know what that would be.
Oklahoma, maybe?
I don't know. You know, if she left for that, what could we say? What could UTSA fans say other than, like, thanks?
Yeah. It's fucking awesome. And if you see her out or whatever, people let her know, you know, that she's doing a great job. And And, you know, she's very receptive of comments like that. So
I think most people are receptive of, like, hey, you're doing a great job.
Well, I don't know, because my drunk ass chases her down at the game. It's like, Lynn, we love what you're doing, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I get a little bit mouthy. I was sitting behind the mayor the other day. I tweeted this.
Easy big shot.
We were at this thing called the Fresh Beat Band, which all you young people look that up. It's badass stuff. Actually, it's a kids thing. But we were at the Majestic Theater, and I was sitting right behind the mayor. And, of course, being the UTSA honk that I am, but I had to tell him, you know, thank you for the city's supporting the program and getting all that. So, I mean, don't be afraid to, you know, tell Romo or Hickey, or if you see him out there, thank you, because, I mean, just there's so much to be gracious for.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I think, what the hell, Netflix is bothering me by sending me tweets. Hey, you guys probably want to watch this show. I'm like, no, leave me alone, Netflix. Annoying.
Netflix is, like, totally on my own time. That's what I love about it.
Okay. So that's the Lynn Hickey talk. What else we got?
So let's talk about...
Well, before we go to that, I want to say that this is what you can look forward to on the blog. We're going to break down each and every team in the potential Conference USA. And that, as of this moment right now, this is what we're, like, breaking down, because this may change. Hold on. Like, I just lost my page. There it is. Okay. I lost it again. Here it is. Okay. As of this moment, that is in the East, ECU, FIU, Marshall, Southern Miss, UAB, Charlotte, ODU. In the West, Louisiana Tech, North Texas, Rice, UTSA, Tulane, Tulsa, UTEP. We're going to break down each and every one of those teams, why you should give a shit, just a little primer, so that way if you're going to talk some mess on the message boards, you have some ammunition.
Boom.
Yeah. Well, and we'll look a little bit at the bowl games, too, because, you know, the WAC had, like, the Potato Bowl and some of that crap.
That's it. That was the only one.
And so now we got some real bowl tie-ins and some real opportunities. If we get that win total.
There's five tie-ins total, and I think six is, like, the third tier.
Yeah, that's one thing that I never got to experience at UNT. It was a bowl game. I was excited. They're like, dude, back-to-back conference championships. We're going to go to New Orleans Bowl every year. It's going to be awesome. I'm like, dude, I love New Orleans. Yeah, let's go.
New Orleans.
Yeah, never happened. So I'm excited. I'm excited about the possibility of a conference championship and a bowl game.
There's a lot of talk during the WAC days about trying to get a secondary bowl game here outside of the Alamo Bowl. And I'm interested to see if that was part of what was presented to Conference USA, that we blew them away, that they didn't look at the combo.
Yeah, that's a pretty big bargaining chip there.
Right, and I think that would be huge. And, you know, we don't know what's going to go up with Mountain West and Conference USA, if they're going to, you know, have some kind of championship game. But somebody said that, you know, San Antonio was, like, the perfect location for
it's right in the middle.
Smack in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tourist town and all that stuff. Yeah, dude. So there's some opportunities. And on that note, you know, I'm kind of curious to see, there was this, before that news broke that Conference USA was in town, earlier in that week, they were talking about Brad Parrott being at the Better Business Bureau or whatever. They were talking about
the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, Chamber of Commerce, about opportunities, and some of the people there were saying, yeah, it's time to get on board, it's time to get on board. So something happened there. So I don't know what that means, if there's a commitment that's coming or what.
I didn't watch the telecast of the Board of Regents meeting, but I read on Rowdyville someone said that Romo mentioned naming rights for a building. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's going to be a fucking huge donation if someone bought naming rights to a new building.
Yeah, that would be a big deal for UTSA, because I don't know who John Peace is, and I don't think he donated any money. Right.
I think he, like, helped fund the school or something like that.
Yeah, so there's HSS, and all
right. Anyway. I'm going to throw this out right here, because I just thought about it right now. Didn't the Mac, didn't they have their conference championship game at the Ford Field? Is that right? Am I lying?
I thought it was at, what's that one in Detroit?
Ford Field.
No,
Indianapolis. Lucas Oil Field.
I think it was that one.
So, you know, like a badass stadium. Yeah. Would you guys be excited about, like, say, like, you
Reliant.
Know, like three years? Well, not even Reliant, but like 3 years from now, like UTSA versus like ECU at Cowboy Stadium.
Would I be excited for that?
Yeah, dude.
I'd have a week long erection. I'd have to go see my doctor.
Yeah, and I have him sit next to me at the game while I'm
doing... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. So if the MAC could do that, definitely Conference USA could swing a Cowboys Stadium conference championship game, right?
There's so much ahead of us and opportunities that have come up. It's just... We got the whole world.
Yeah, you're right. Look, so there's definitely
the whole world.
There's definitely the Alamo Dome, Reliant Stadium, and Cowboy Stadium, in the mix, definitely, for like a potential conference
championship. And I mean, if they wanted to go a little bit more regional in the middle of the two divisions, there aren't really many NFL.
No, dude, Dallas is the hub. Like, Dallas is an easy place to get to. That's why Dallas, the city of Dallas, has like so many corporate headquarters.
So we're talking about conference
USA championship? Are we talking about a conference USA championship?
Conference USA championship.
Well, it probably wouldn't be Dallas, because UNT is almost all the way on the west, besides Utah.
It's Western-centric.
That's what I'm saying, though. But it has $1 billion stadium.
I think the best place would be New Orleans, which is just like a tourist town and a big stadium. But what they've been doing is they've been hosting at the home team with the best record.
Really?
So they've been kind of scouting that around. But that'd be kind of cool to see a centralized location that hosted it every year.
Good team, yeah.
Yeah, I think people would travel for that. For a Conference USA Championship game, people would travel to Dallas. And, like, people already travel to Dallas. Like I was already looking at it. For every team in the West, it's like 5 hours away. And it's a short flight for every team that's going to be in a potential conference.
I think I read that Southwest flies to like the majority of the cities that are in conference. What's it like $69 to fly to Dallas?
Yeah, I don't care. Like Reliant's cool. New Orleans probably be a little bit better, but yeah, like Cowboy Stadium, having UTSA playing Stadium,
I'm already starting to think about road trips. I'm like, every year I'm going to do a road trip. There'll always be that guarantee. I bet we'll alternate North Texas Rice every year as far as a road game.
Well, Rice isn't always for me because it's so easy to get to. Yeah, it's like, so close.
But I mean, as far as it being a road game, I bet just the way the schedule will work, that one year will be at Rice, one will be at North Texas. And I'm already starting to look at, like, where do I want to go? Definitely want to go to Tulane just because it's New Orleans.
What I'd like to see is that they split. Like, one year we play El Paso at home. Like, we never play El Paso and, like, well, some of the teams that are furthest away, like Tulsa. New Orleans, Tulsa, like, those teams like that. But, like, yeah, Houston's right there. And Denton's right there. Those are the two closest.
For me, I'll drive to Denton. I'll drive to Rice. I'll fly to El Paso. I'll fly to Tulsa. I'll fly to New Orleans. I don't know how the fuck to get to Ruston, Louisiana.
Well, actually, my boss's dad played football there, and she said it's really easy to get there from San Antonio. She said the hotels are super cheap because there's fucking nothing out there.
But it's like a 10-hour drive, isn't it?
No, it's only like 8 or 7.
Yeah. Ruston?
It's not that bad.
8 hours, 18 minutes, according to Google Maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, look. Even if they split it, like you said, did you say like they'll split UNT and then Rice?
I hope that they do that just because it's a road trip for everybody.
Yeah, it's at least one easy road trip per year. Yeah, yeah. Like, so there'll be, say you know, we play El Paso, UTEP, UNT, La Tech at home, and then we travel to Houston, New Orleans, and Tulsa. That means there'd be Houston 3 hours away, New Orleans and Tulsa or 9 hours away. Those are easy flights. You could probably save up.
Make Southwest those dice to all three of those.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's excited about traveling. Maybe Miami. Maybe the road trip to Miami would take precedence.
Yeah, I got to look at that because I don't know if Old Dominion is kind of like, someone's like in that Norfolk area.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Old Dominion's up around there.
Yeah, I'm not excited about going to Charlotte, Old Dominion.
Charlotte's a nice city.
I'd go there. I don't want to see a nice city. I want
to
see a
But I'm not going to go to Birmingham, and I'm not going to go to Hattiesburg.
Yeah, I've been there, and I've been there. Those are not that exciting.
In Hattiesburg, apparently, you'll have some trouble there if you're not fully 100% white American.
Let me see your paper, son. shit.
I'm carrying my Bon Iver album. Don't shoot.
Yeah, so I don't feel comfortable in cities like that. And that's coming from a white guy.
Yeah, so, and then obviously the flip of it would be El Paso, Denton, and Ruston. So, again, you fly to one, you drive to another one, and you make another flight. You decide maybe you want to go to that one.
Yeah, that's a cheap flight.
That sounds so much better than what we were talking about Las Cruces and Moscow and Logan. San Jose would have been nice, but some of these just shit towns in the west that are in the middle of nowhere.
Well, San Jose is kind of in a bad area of the bay, I think, right? Can anyone confirm that?
I don't know.
No, San Jose is a nice part of it. But, like, okay, so that's the only place. But New Orleans, destination city. Everybody wants to go to New Orleans. Tulsa, Houston, that's an easy trip. Yeah. And people, it's a big city. It's a nice city. Yeah. You go.
Everyone knows someone that lives there to stay with or whatever. Yeah.
Ruston, not that exciting, but it's relatively close. It's, you know, you load up in a van with all your buddies and you all go there. And
that's what I'm doing this year.
Yeah, it's a cool little trip.
Oh, can't wait.
Denton, it's 5 hours away. It's an hour flight. You know, you hop that, you go to the game. It's fun. And everybody knows me. I can tell you the place there. El Paso, like I said, there's a wasteland.
I'm not driving that shit. I'll fly it.
Yeah, I drove it. The only thing, the only reason you would want to see as a Roadrunner fan is in Fort Stockton. There is the world's largest Roadrunner statue.
We need that shit on campus. I've been saying this for 3 years now.
All right, so that's one road trip, and we'll bring it on the way back.
We're going to steal it.
Yeah, I was talking about making the trip out to UTEP last year for our basketball game. That was like the start off of the season. I thought we were going to go to the NCAA tournament again. I thought we were going to have this awesome team. So, you know, I'm you know, about to head out, put it into Google Maps. It's in like 10 hours.
Isn't that
like,
crazy? Within the state.
Within the state. Yeah, like nothing in between.
Yeah. We drove from Phoenix to San Antonio, right?
Oh, man.
And the Phoenix to El Paso was not that terrible, but the El Paso to San Antonio.
It's the worst.
I'm never doing that again. Never.
And if you go like in the summer, it is so hot out there. The sun just bears down.
We went in June of last year.
Oh man.
Yeah. It's not that. We entertained ourselves by... Like I said, we were like, what's in Fort Stockton? Not even a city. Census-designated place. Which means that they're like, well, they got people within like a three-mile radius. Yeah. Like, they got four people within a three-mile radius. We'll call that a... Yeah. And so we went to the, you know, like the local landmark, which is F Fountain, the Roadrunner statue, and the new Walmart. places that we went
Dude,
to.
Walmart
three
is everywhere.
Cities.
It's not even a real city. Walmart.
They're like, oh my god, guys, a new Walmart's coming. Get your applications here. You can buy it. I was like,
I just went big time.
Like, oh man, middle of nowhere coming up.
Did I ever tell you about the time I applied at Walmart?
No.
Didn't get the job.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, well, I'm better than you then.
I guess they hire so many people that get like them tax benefits for working there if they're like handicapped in some way or on welfare or whatever.
I got hired at Walmart.
How was that?
So I could say, I never went. I just got the job and I was like, I'm not gonna show up. I'm good.
I just can't do this. I can't do it.
Yeah, I realized. I told my friend, I was like, dude, I got the job at Walmart. He was like, that's stupid. I was like, yeah, you're right.
For real?
I was desperate, man, because it was after my second year of college and I went back home trying to.
Where'd you go to
job.
College?
Gonna ignore that question. And no one would hire me because I was like overqualified. Because back home, like, no one goes to college. If they do, it's like an associate's degree. So they were worried about me taking their job. I'm like, I just want to work here for 3 months. Come on.
There you go. Apparently, people love Walmart. There's like one or two people I know. They're like, oh, Walmart's not as bad as everybody says it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't agree with them. But
I mean, Walmart's in San Antonio might not be that bad on the north side. Like, I'm sure if you go to the Stone Oak Walmart, it's a nice
the
experience.
Cool Walmart, yeah.
Okay, I pissed outside of that Walmart one time, by the way. It was St. Patrick's Day a couple of years ago.
They make it easy to aim.
They got two doors in, right? You know, where you go in. Door. Well, one of them was closed at a certain hour of the night.
Oh,
I had to piss so bad. I just did it right there on the Walmart.
Hell
yeah. Security guy drove by. He was like, it's St. Patrick's Day. I'm not going to mess with this guy. Yeah, it was a bad idea.
Okay, so I think we pretty much hit all the major topics.
Well, I still wanted to talk about,
what do you want to talk about?
You know, supposedly UTSA had a choice. They had three offers from Sunbelt, Conference USA, and Mountain West.
You take Conference USA? I think it's a no-brainer.
I don't know. Mountain West has some pretty serious advantages to it.
Yeah, but none of them are regional
teams. No, I agree. That's the crux of it.
That's the win of the Conference USA.
Right.
Yeah. That's it.
So, but
Conference USA made a power move by inviting us and UNT because they're making UTEP stay. How could UTEP leave having that many regional teams, you know?
Yeah, a lot of Mountain West fans are complaining about that. The Conference USA kind of strong-armed.
Yeah, they did. It was a fucking awesome move. I have a lot of respect for Britain for pulling that off.
But, I think I made this point maybe on a podcast, or maybe it was just, on a
blog post.
On a blog, or maybe it was a tweet, but... The thing about Mountain West is you got maybe some higher profile name schools, you know, like state universities.
Yeah.
And obviously it's a better basketball conference. You know, they had four bids to the tournament last year. One of those teams is leaving San Diego State, but still that's three teams that are
remaining. They're replacing it with who else coming in?
Utah State and San Jose.
Utah State, Utah State's good enough to draw
a basketball program. Conference USA was a two-bid league last year, but that hasn't been the norm for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
They lost one of those teams, Memphis, who always gets the automatic bid.
Yeah.
So basketball-wise, the Mountain West is stronger. I've always desired to be in a multi-bid league. That's always been important to me. And so I'm hopeful that Conference USA will turn into that or stay that as they did this year. And maybe the Old Dominion ad will help. I did a little research on Old Dominion. I saw they've been in a couple tournaments the last couple years. And they actually went to the second round a couple years ago.
So
maybe that's going to maybe help out.
And UNT and Louisiana Tech both have played pretty well in recent memory.
UNT's expected to do real well this year.
UNT's made they're expected to be top 25 team. They made the tournament. They made the conference championship game like three out of the last 4 years. So
nice.
Yeah, like when you're, if you're a Conference USA, what, like, I was always thinking about it this way. If you're, you know, everybody else is building a league off of, like, TV markets and the most money they're going to make off of ESPN, right? That's the only, that's one way to build it. So if you're going to compete with that, you can't go head to head. There's only so many major markets that you have with which to compete. The other way you go is, like, you know, you go regional, you know, you make it a strong, like, local conference and build ties that way. I think that's what Conference USA is going for.
Well, then the other piece is, like, the, you know, Mountain West has a history of being better football. Of course, everybody's kind of left on both sides. But Mountain West is, you know, they had the Boise State for just a few years. They had the TCU. Mm-hmm. They had Nevada, Utah, who was ranked last year. Yeah, they had Utah that went through BYU. And so their reputation's there. Is it mean anything now? I don't know. It kind of does to me. And Conference USA has always kind of been there. Maybe get a team ranked. You know, Houston was the first team in a while that kind of really broke into something this year.
See,
when they got in the top 10, top 5.
Here's the thing, is that Mountain West schools are out there. They suffer the same the same problems that west of, like, San Antonio basically suffers. Is that you're out there and there's so much distance, there's so few people that nobody really cares. You're not going to draw big crowds because there's not a whole lot of people there. You're not going to draw TV because everybody's going to sleep. It's such an uphill climb.
Right.
And San Antonio, city of San Antonio, UTSA, the school of San Antonio, being right there on the edge, you don't want to align yourself with that, with those problems. You know what I mean? Already being a small school, relatively small, like prestige, and, you know, with limited funding, you want to associate yourself with the East Coast teams like the Dallas Cowboys did way back when. One of the reasons Dallas Cowboys were, America's teams because they played the New York Giants, the Washington Redskins, and the Philadelphia Eagles, you know? East Coast cities. East Coast cities started hating on the Cowboys. That builds them up in their mind. Everybody knows the Cowboys because everybody lives in those cities, you know what I mean? So that's why we want to ally ourselves with East Coast
teams. I just like that the Mountain West kind of actually has, like, an area carved out. Like, you have the Pac-10, Pac-12, Pac-14, whatever it'll end up being, and then the Big 12, and there's actually, like, a physical area there that is kind of lacking. Of course, there's not that many people that live in that area. We're talking about Wyoming, Montana.
Yeah, there's no way over there.
New Mexico, that kind of region. But it's an actual, it feels like maybe it's bigger time. But you can't argue against, you know, regional opponents. And a lot of people from North Texas would say about UTSA, like, well, you don't want to play those teams in the West. Late night times play and stuff. And when they were in the Big West or whatever it was, the conference they used to be.
Yeah, UNT used to play Idaho.
The fans all, you know, were complaining about, we didn't like being over there. We didn't like these late times or whatever. So maybe there's a lesson to be learned there.
Yeah, dude. Like, they're like if you look at the West, you look at what we got here, right? The teams here. They're all Southern teams. We got Southern, you know, Southern, like, a connection there. What do we have in common with people in San Jose? Not much, other than we're both Americans, I guess. You know what I mean? There's not a whole lot there.
We both love tacos.
Yeah,
that's my contribution.
Yeah, that's
You're putting fish in a taco? We don't do that here.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, there's a lot of interconnection there. Tulane, Louisiana, Louisiana Tech, they're both in Louisiana there. You got a bunch of Texas teams.
Yeah, there's no doubt geographically, it's an amazing fit geographically, especially with UTEP staying. And I speculated a lot that I thought UTEP was going to move over, and I thought that we needed UTEP to move over to open up an opportunity. But now that we're in, and it worked out with the 14 teams, strangely enough, I'm so glad that, I mean, regionally it's awesome. Yeah. Our division is awesome.
If Old Dominion doesn't go, like, there's speculation. If they don't go, I think the backup plan is Middle Tennessee State, and they don't care.
To me, like, I'm like, okay, either way, I don't really care.
Yeah, like I said, I don't care about any of the East. Like,
I prefer East Georgia State, just because we've played them.
Yeah, we kind of got to keep with Georgia State and South Alabama.
Yeah, dude, like, you can stick whatever team you want over there, and that'd be fine with me. Like, all those other teams are good for, like, that one game that will be on TV. Oh, it's UTSA and Marshall on ESPN3. Cool. All right, awesome. We're going to play them.
Right.
That's what we're looking forward to.
And then being
in
the Mountain West, we would have had, I'm assuming UTEP would have moved over with it, because that was kind of part of the assumption. Yeah, we had another Texas team, but that Texas team, like you said earlier, is so far away.
Yeah.
And that would be the closest school to us, so.
Yeah.
I mean, there's good and bad to both. I could argue both ways. I knew that I'd be happy either way. And so I think, you know, Lynn Hickey knew that she wanted to go to Conference USA. That was always been her plan. And it's worked out good.
Yeah. I think we kind of, we're at 109 minutes, or I mean an hour and 9 minutes. I said 100. I think we pretty much touched on a lot of things. You can stay tuned for, you know, on the blog for, we're gonna cover every Conference USA team, like we said. And also next week, We're going to talk about more about bowl games. What we think about what bowl games we're going to be allied with is what the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. Either way. That's doable.
Yeah, any of those words. Pick one. Pick the one that you know that you think goes with it. And more of that. Yeah. More of that stuff.
Tomorrow's a big day. Big day.
Yeah. Tomorrow are all the announcements. I think.
Yeah. For there's whatever, like seven of them or something.
Yeah, they're all going to be, you know, everybody wants their own little spot. I think UNT picked like 3:30. UNT's going to be last. Any word on when UTSA is going to announce?
There's a schedule.
10:30, okay.
I think Mac put out there that was...
Okay, cool. So 10:30 a.m. is going to be...
I know that Southwest Texas, Texas State already had their press conference, and that was yesterday.
Yeah, it was a train wreck, wasn't it?
I just want to make that clear, that was yesterday, and that was not Conference USA or Mountain West.
Okay,
they're
so
having a party at 5 p.m. at Stoneworks at the Rim.
Who is like celebrate for UTSA?
Yeah, to celebrate the conference.
5 tomorrow?
Yeah, so I'm talking about
at the Rim. All right, hey, maybe I'll go.
Hopefully, there's some drink specials. I'm pretty sure Stoneworks like expensive, right?
All right, sweet. So if you're listening to this tomorrow, Friday, you probably already listened to the press conference. Hopefully, you're listening to this blog, this podcast all the way through. But we're about done. Hey, one more shout out to Adam Schaefer. Schaefer is what we're going to call him. We're going to call him Schaefer from now on, a.k.a. the Barry Coker. Do Barry Coker voice again.
One more time. Yeah, I'm just really, really proud of being Conference USA. I'm very excited about going up to Oklahoma and playing Tulsa. That's kind of my own stopping grounds, and I can kick some ass up there, drink some beer, and maybe a couple shots of whiskey, and I'll introduce you guys to some Okies up there. It's a good time. I guarantee you that.
All right, so that's Schaefer and Barry Coker. Together in one, he'll be on the pod. He's an official member, the third member of Coker Chronicles. Yay! Give him a round of applause, everybody. All right, so now we got to do the three-person sign-on.
Oh, damn.
Well, we're going to do this.
Let's not shadow these.
Yeah. Once again, I'm Adam. You can find me on Twitter at AztecSkin.
I'm Jared, but I'm going to be switching to a new Twitter handle for UTSA Sports called @JaredCC.
Yeah, sweet.
Probably, and then probably do that next week.
Yeah, well, just stay tuned. Yeah, I mean, if you don't follow the blog, you need to follow it. Schaefer, Schaefs. Yeah.
I'll end up being Schaefer CC, but right now I'm at the Barry Coker. But I'm sure I've already latched on to a couple of you guys' followers already.
Yeah, yeah. So like you don't have to do anything. You'll just notice somebody different tweeting on your timeline. All right, so that's it. Thanks for listening to the episode 29 of the Coker Chronicles podcast. We're out.
Lynn Hickey's fucking badass.